Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Wow. Okay. How's everybody doing? You all right? Woo! Good. Good, good. Welcome, everybody, flesh and blood. All right, because I'm going to welcome people that are not here, like, you know, in our internet audience, one of our other 8 campuses. How are you? And our volunteer of the week, I'm so excited. Diana, you were the volunteer of the week, and she's one of our Facebook facilitators. So if you're ever on vacation and, you know, you find yourself on an island in the middle of nowhere and you go, there's no churches around, I'm going to go to Facebook Live and catch Valley Bible. You can catch us right there. And one of our facilitators would take care of you, so I'm going to give them a shout out. So we have Granny and Terry and Christine and Diana and Heidi and Kristen and Lenore. And you ladies are an awesome team. So there we are. And one of our facilitators, Granny, she calls herself Everyone's Praying Granny. She will pray with you at any time. So if you ever like are on one of our feeds and you're like, there's somebody named Granny on there, then you'll see her. And she also is a nurse out here in our children's ministry. Awesome. So anyways, I had to say that as far as a warm up. Okay, you good with that? Now you ready to have church? Okay, that was 2 of you. Everybody else ready to have church? Just want to make sure. So we'll have church right now, but then when we get done, you get to go be the church. Are you with me? We okay with that? Awesome, awesome. All right. So I want to talk to you about foundations. And when you have a great foundation, you can build a great property, a great building on top of that. But if your foundation is shaky, you might be challenged. I'm going to tell you a little illustration here, and then if you want to get your Bible ready, we'll show it to you on the screen too, but we're going to turn in 2 passages. We got 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 28. I have driven by a place up in San Jose. Maybe some of you guys have been inside of it. It's called the Winchester Mystery House, and it is a crazy giant property that was built by Sarah Winchester, who is the widow of William Winchester, the firearm magnate, and he built the Winchester rifle, and she was kind of haunted by the fact that people were killed by her husband's firearm, and so she built this house to I couldn't tell if she, you know, like kind of, you know, to stay away from evil spirits or to house them or what it was, but she built a house. It took her 38 years of constant construction on this house. The architecture was nonstop, built with no plan, and features stairways going nowhere. Anybody want to live in a house like that? It only gets creepier. The architecture features inside windows, 7 stories to confuse the spirits, roughly 161 rooms, including 40 bedrooms, 2 ballrooms, 47 fireplaces, 10,000 panes of glass, 17 chimneys, 2 basements, and 3 elevators. Isn't that crazy? And 1 working toilet. I don't want to be crass here, but if you're on like the 7th story and you're like, I think I'm going to have to go to the bathroom, you better plan ahead. Okay? Because you got to work your way around and hope you don't get lost. So I was thinking about that and thought, you got to have a crazy foundation to have a crazy building on that. And I know that there's some crazy people in here, then you got some crazy foundations because you got some crazy houses that you've built on that as well, okay? Talking about the foundation, who is Jesus. And then I want to show you the famous crazy foundation. I just took my family, we went saw this little place, and that is a famous building that is actually crooked, right? The Leaning Tower. So its foundation is a crazy story, but that's a whole nother story. We're going to talk about a solid and safe foundation. Are you with me? All right, so here we go. If you have 1 Corinthians ready, we're going to look at Corinthians 3, starting at verse 10. It says this, according to the grace of God, which was given me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful. Somebody say careful. Got to be careful how you build on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which was laid. Paul says, I and the master builder. He's the guy with the plan, right? He's the architect. He's the general contractor. And he goes, I'm going to start this. I'm going to lay the foundation. And only when we have a solid and secure foundation can we start building on top of that. And he was secure enough in himself of knowing that he was going to build on the foundation that Jesus Christ had laid. Jesus was the only foundation that is worth building on. You hear me so far? And Paul said, I'm okay. Jesus is the foundation, and I'm okay that other people are going to build on this as well. And by the way, some of you guys, as you build your spiritual house on your foundation, be okay with people helping you build your spiritual house. Listen to your brothers when they say, hey man, I know, you know, we're just doing this thing together. We're going through life and we're doing our Christian journey together, but I gotta talk to you about your anger. Or I gotta talk to you about your eyes. You know, every time a girl walks in the room, your eyes are like giving you trouble. You know what I'm saying? So brother, as a Christian, as a fellow brother in the Lord, I'm just gonna tell you, as you're building your house, watch your eyes. You hear what I'm saying? So we need to be able to have people. Or, you know, the way that you talk to your husband, girl, I just need, you know what I'm saying? We need to know that it's okay that when we build on our foundation, we may not get everything right, but we have good brothers and sisters to help us. And Paul knew that too. I am letting other people build on that foundation. Paul is building the church in Corinth when he's writing this letter, but he's a builder. He's building methodically, and he's building intentionally, and he's building purposefully. He's saying, I'm building a building. My spiritual life is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly stone. Somebody say costly now. Yes, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. And I kind of like that. In Scripture, a lot of times the words stone and rock are used interchangeably. And there's a couple of verses that show us that. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. 1 Samuel 22:32. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? We need to know that since the beginning of the time, of the foundation of time, God knew that Jesus was going to be the foundation of the church, the foundation of the kingdom of God, and the foundation of all of our lives individually. So we need to know that Jesus was not only the stone from the beginning of time, but he was tested. And he was a costly stone. He was a perfect stone. The foundation stone had to be the one set first, because if you set it first in ancient buildings, you set the first stone and you set it square and you set it on the foundation where you needed to have it. All the other stones in the foundation were laid based on the position of the foundation stone. So the foundation stone had to be perfect in order to have a perfect foundation. And when you have a perfect foundation, you can build on that a better building. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so Jesus was that costly foundation stone, tried by the enemy, proven to be the real deal. He wasn't just, randomly placed. He was firmly and strategically placed. And when you believe in this foundation, you will not be disturbed. Or another translation says like this, you will not be shaken. When you build with the right foundation. Pastor Rod, you're certainly getting crazy about foundation. Well, I want to lay the foundation, if you will, of this message, because we're going to talk about some things that make for a strong foundation. Because when you have a strong foundation, you can build your building on it, and you know your building will be secure. Anybody with me? You want a strong building? Last the test of time? Amen. Start with the foundation. And just like foundation stones or cornerstones over time have become ceremonial, your relationship with Christ could be that same way. What do you mean? I go to the YMCA when I work out, and when I work out, I walk past a foundation stone, and it's right there, and it's inscribed, and it's perfect, and it sticks out amongst all these other stones. It says, this building was built, and it gives the date and some names of people. Well, you know, that building just got rebuilt about 2 years ago. So I know that, you know, things have changed. And I think about foundation stones and how they become ceremonial, but their function, right? is not just ceremonial, but the function really goes underneath. So this is a ceremonial stone that we see in buildings today. And I want to tell you this. Some of you guys have a great foundation, but you know what? When you got saved several years ago, you put that foundation stone in and you built your building on it, but then you kind of walked away. And I'm not saying you walked away from your faith. I'm saying sometimes we need to check our faith and make sure it's still living and active and thriving. Otherwise, it can become just a thing. You hear what I'm saying? We need to make sure that our faith today is not just something that happened in the past, but it's living and active. And as we think about foundations, I want you guys to kick the tire on your foundation and go, I am built on Jesus. I just got a little comfortable. I am built on the foundation of the Lord. But you know what? I just sometimes get my eyes on me. I am built on the foundation of Christ, but sometimes I need to get a checkup. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's where I'm at today. But we always need to check. So here we go. But if you built on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are set and solid. So I want to tell you this, that a foundation is the strongest and most important part of a building. Luke 6, 46 through 49. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord? When you don't do what I say, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me and listens to my teaching and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation in solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears it and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. What is a foundation? I'm going to give you two little working definitions. One, it is a literal definition. It is the lowest load-bearing part of the building, often not even seen. Secondly, it's a figurative one. It's an underlying basis or principle for something, a foundational argument, and so on. Let me give you a couple of facts about foundation. A foundation is below the ground and is not seen. Small cracks in that foundation can mean big trouble. Are you hearing me? If you have a faulty foundation, it's only a matter of time before the building will experience big difficulties. It's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. And I want you to think about your foundation. I want to think about where you're building your faith when we talk about that. If the foundation of a building is faulty, everything built on it is fragile. No one will ever see, let me give you a little example of this. No one will ever see the time that you spend every morning in praying and reading and your devotional time and connecting with God and becoming a spiritual person. But you know what? They will always see the results of it. You ever hang out with that woman that you're like, she just exudes this godliness. We're not even talking about spiritual things, but I can tell she's a spiritual person. I can tell she walks with Jesus. That's because she has those times every day where she connects with God. There is no reason for people's spiritual maturity. There is a reason for people's spiritual maturity. It does not just happen. So let's talk about that. I'm thinking about foundations, and I have a buddy that does some building. And he has built more water parks than anybody on the planet, all right? He's a water park builder. He knows what he's doing. And I called him and I said, hey, Dave, I said, I'm going to do a message a little bit about foundations. Talk to me about water park foundations. You know, I just figured there was something there. And I could look up about skyscrapers in New York and say, this skyscraper to go this tall has to be this. But I thought I'd give you guys a real life example. And he emailed me back and here's what he said. The dirt work and the piping that guests never see is the hardest part of the job. Takes the longest and accounts for about 40% of the total cost. At one water park, we had to sink 70 piers 50 feet deep in order to stabilize the ground. Then there are literally thousands of feet of sewer, storm drains, water, gas, electricity, etc. A water park can take up to a year to build, with underground work taking almost half of the time. So half of the time and up to 40% of the cost is what it costs for the foundation. And I don't know about you guys, but when you go to a water park, you probably don't say, I wonder how the storm drains in this water park are. Do they have some pylons running deep into the stone layer right out here? Because I'm like, let my kids ride on those things. No way, man. You have your little floaty device on and your sunscreen on your nose. And you're like, yeah, man, how high is that thing? We're going. Let's be honest, that's how you do, right? Or if you're like me, my kids say, come on, Dad, let's go to the tallest one. I'm like, yeah, let's go. We went to a water park recently, and the one that goes upside down was like out of order. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I was like, I'm not ready for all that stuff. Because you know, when you got a 10-year-old man, like if dad doesn't do that, it's crazy. But the foundation is something that we need to have in order before everything gets built on top. It reminds me of Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Is the Lord building your house on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to give you three things that make for a strong foundation. Number one, a strong Bible-believing church. Thank God for Valley Bible Fellowship. You know what I'm saying? We are growing. We have a ton of campuses. We have a ton of people. And that's not what makes us good. What makes us good is Jesus, and we do things His way, and that brings people. You know, when you preach the power of Jesus, when you walk in humility and you do things right, it's infectious, and people want to see other people come to Christ, and people want to get people in front of the Word. You hear what I'm saying? And so that is us. That's not the church. That's not them. That is us, and we are the church. This building isn't the church. We are the church, and we are part of a strong Bible-believing church. That's you. Thank you for being part of us. Acts 2:42 says this, they were continually, somebody say continually. Continually. Now say continually, continually. No, just don't do that. Continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer, right? So they gave themselves to teaching and communion and to each other and to praying. They had this connection, this koinonia, but the word continually means this, steadfast, enduring with strength and might. They were at it. They continued. Some people like to go to church and they're like, oh, I love that church. Until the pastor got on and he started calling out my stuff, man, that I had to go to another church so I could feel better. Now, I'm not saying you need to leave church wounded, you know, because there's other people that go, man, unless I leave church all convicted and we didn't have church. No. I'm not saying that either. I'm saying a Bible teaching church. Sometimes you're going to get it right between the eyes, okay? And sometimes you're going to come in and go, whew, I'm glad I confessed that sin before I came to church. You hear what I'm saying? What is a Bible-believing church? First of all, to me, it's this. It's the ability when you get to help a brother or sister in need. That's what, man, you don't have to look around, but there are needs. Every one of us have needs. And when I grew up, we came to church saying, you just come to church. You just crawl in, brother, and God will bless you, right? And there's some truth to that. But what if we came in saying, I'm going to get something because God is good and God wants to impart me to, something into me, and He wants to grow me and grow my character and grow my family. But I'm also coming ready to serve, ready to give. All right? What if we came with that attitude? We go to church to minister to others and receive the Word. All right? What if we came with that frame in mind? What if we brought a couple extra 20s with us sometime? Like, you know what? I'm going to come to church. I'm going to come into that parking lot, and I'm going to wait till no one's around, and I'm going to start slipping 20s with a little sticky note under somebody's windshield wiper. Love ya. Have lunch on me. Boom. You walk off. You go to the next one. Love ya. Have a great lunch. You don't have to sign your name, you know, or leave your email, you know, your PayPal account. If you want to pay me back, you know. What if we just came to give? How awesome would that be? If you walked out to your car and you're like, ha! We got lunch for free. And you know, and then some guy is going to come back next week and go, that pastor said everybody's supposed to put a 20 on their windshield. So I'm going to come back and I'm going to get paid and come to church this week. No, don't be doing that, okay? What if we came and we said, you know, I'm going to just come with a ton of compliments. But I like that jacket. Girl, that dress is awesome. Man, I just heard a word. Guys don't use this word, but I heard it backstage just right now. Your blouse. What if you said your blouse is awesome? Right, guys? I don't know what that is either, but ask your wife. Right? Or I was learning how to talk millennial, and I'd have to say, bro, them shoes is banging. So I don't talk like that, but, you know. But what if we came and just said, I'm going to give compliments, compliments, compliments. I'm going to do this. I'm going to high five you. I'm going to hug you. Man, and just give. You might have got silver and gold, have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. Your smile is awesome. Love the hairdo. All right, you're going there, man. You look like a good family. Like your class. You see what I'm saying? It's easy. We can do that. Come ready to give and ready to get. What if we come with an encouraging verse? Right? You can come with compliments and you can come with an encouraging verse too. But I just want to say, man, I got a verse for you. Or one of our children's workers. Have you guys seen Andrew, man? He walks around with like strips of paper all taped to his shirt with all verses on them. You guys know what I'm talking about? He's out all the time. I love that. I don't even have to ask him for a verse. He's like, here's a verse. Man, how can you not love that? I'm encouraged. Here's the deal. When you do this and you come ready to, because you know you're going to get from God, but you come ready to be used of God too, you put yourself in a place of blessing. You get to be used by God and you set yourself up for God to bless you. It's one thing to have favor of man. I'd rather have favor of God. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, if we reap, we will not grow weary. So then, while we have an opportunity, let us do good to all the people, and especially those who are in the household of faith. Especially those who are in the household of faith. What is the household of faith? It's us. See, we can do good things for people as we drive by somebody on the street. They need a ride. They need some gas. They need some coffee. They need kung fu lessons, whatever signs you see. But you want to find the people that are in the household of faith? It's here at church. Can you find them in the club on the weekend? Yeah, probably. But you know, you can find them here in church. Can you find them in the shopping mall? You go, yes, but we are supposed to love everybody, give as much as we can. But especially in the household of faith, especially at church, come ready to give in your Bible-believing church more than others. Come ready to give, especially to those in the household of faith. Here's the second thing that a Bible-believing church does. You realize the responsibility to raise kids right. Parents, let me encourage you, do not get weary of bringing your kids to church. I was at church every time the doors were open when I was growing up. All right, some of you guys are going to have flashbacks to your childhood, but I'm telling you what, man, we had to get up early on a Sunday morning, all right, and we had to watch TV on church, or church on TV first, right? I mean, that's just what you did. That's what my parents did. Be like, hey, son, come in here. Come watch church on TV. Well, Dad, we're getting ready to go to church. Yeah, well, watch this first. Yes, sir. So you watched church on TV, then you went to church every time the church doors were open. And you know what? We were there a lot of times opening the church doors. And so Dad was a deacon, so he'd get there early and open up. So we had to come to pre-church prayer, right? Then we had Sunday school. Then we had fellowship hour in between. Then we had service. Then we had to go out to eat with somebody from church, right? Then we had to come back early for a prayer meeting. And then we had choir practice right before that. And then you had to go to main service. And then you went out to somebody afterward. You hear what I'm saying? Some of you guys are excited about that, all right? At the time, I'm like, oh my gosh, we have way too much church. But I'm thankful that I was there every time the church doors were open. I literally was every time. Oh, and by the way, that was just Sunday, because then we had to go back to church on Monday. And then there was Tuesday and Wednesday. Look out, man, because there was Royal Rangers and choir practice. And there was, you know, if there was anything, and you know what? Three times a year, you had revival. You hear what I'm saying? So you were at church all the time. Now, that was before Netflix and chill, right? So you know, we didn't have as many options. But I want to say this. I want to look right in the camera. I want to say, Mom and Dad, you had me at church every time the doors were open. Thank you. Thank you that I was there. Thank you that you put that discipline in me. Thank you for making me the man who I am today. My Sunday school teacher, I have a Sunday school teacher. She used to be a greeter right here, and she's not here today. But Kathy, God bless you. She poured into me, man. She understood the value of raising kids right. My parents understand the value of raising kids right. Parents, let me talk to you. Get your kids here. You're like, my kids are here all the time. That's because you put them in a baby carrier and take them to the nursery. I get that, all right? Then when they get a little older, you bribe them, you give them some Tic Tacs. Hey, buddy, you know, hey, man, we're going to church today. Here's Tic Tacs and a donut, right? Hop, 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 sugar, give them to the Sunday school teacher. It's all good. But then there's teenagers. Now listen, parents, I'm telling you, if you haven't yet, you'll probably fight with your kids, your teenagers, about going to church, all right? It just happens. Bribe them again. Get up early, fix them their favorite thing for breakfast, do what you got to do, bribe them with cash. It doesn't matter. Just get them to church, all right? And if you guys are too cheap to bribe them with cash, just force them. No, I'm just kidding. You better get to church, or something, you know what I'm saying? Grandparents, get your grandkids to church. Uncles, aunts, encourage your nieces and nephews. If you live in a neighborhood where there's kids, encourage them to be in church, because there's something special about being in a Bible-believing church. There was a study that the Barna Group ran. They said they found that roughly 7 out of 10 American adults, 71%, had a period of time during their childhood when they regularly attended a Christian church. Apparently, old habits die hard, because a majority of those who attended church as a youngster still attend regularly today, 61%. While a large majority of those who did not go to church as children are still absent from churches today, 78%. Am I talking to anybody? Get your kids to church. And by the way, we have some of the best student ministry. We have some of the best kids ministry. We have some of the best nursery workers, some of the best children teachers ever. And they're out there. And later on, we're going to talk about serving, and you could get a chance to be one of those amazing teachers. A new Harvard study just told us this. Those who attended religious services at least once a week as children or teens, listen to this, were 18% more likely to be happier in their 20s than those who never attended church service. You can give your kids 20% chance more of being happy. Man! They were almost 30% more likely to do volunteer work and 33% less likely to do drugs in their 20s just by going to church. Get yourself in a Bible-believing church. Get your kids in a Bible-believing church. And then lastly, you can receive the focus regarding life. You can see opportunities for service. You can do life with others in similar life stage. Man, if you're having trouble with kids or, man, you're young and raising kids, find a peer group. Find a small group that has other people in that same life stage as you. You could talk about kids or you could talk about teenagers. Get in a small group. Rubbing elbows with people, man. Don't come in late and leave early. I see you. I know who you are. If I knew your name, I'd be like, hey, Bob, get back in here, dude. You're going to be leaving early. I saw on Facebook, you got reservations at that restaurant. You know, they'll still be there. I'm ending right, you know, so no, I would never call anybody out. Although back in the day, they used to call people out of church. I've got called out before, like, hey, Rodney, you just need to be quiet. I'm almost done. Put the fear of Jesus in you, but that has actually happened to me before. Last week with Pastor Ron. So the, you can get help in a time of trouble. Listen, we need each other, and we're all in a Bible-believing church together, Bible-teaching church, so that helps on your foundation. Let me give you another observation about building a solid foundation is your devotional time. And let's talk about your devotional time. I have just a few minutes to do this one. Romans 14, verses 7 and 8. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. The preceding verses in this chapter talk about eating and drinking and living your life to the glory of God. So if you eat and drink and live and move and serve and you do everything because it is the life that the Lord has given you, not your own, then you know what? Devotions, connecting with God every day need to be a solid, regular part of your life. Devotions are not a checklist, but a lifestyle. Jesus doesn't want to be a task on your task list that day. I understand we all get busy, and some of you guys will say, man, Pastor, if I don't put devotions on my list to do in the morning, it's never going to get done. I understand that. I'm talking about priority. I'm not talking about how you manage your list. I don't put devotions on my list because it's the first thing I do when I get up. Kind of the first thing. Somewhere is coffee and devotions. It's all in there together because I have better devotions when I have caffeine. Anybody? Okay. So if I don't set my alarm earlier than anybody else in the house, I don't get good devotion time. In fact, sometimes I'm having good time with Jesus in the morning. I'm like, oh God, I'm praying for this, and Lord, I'm praying for that, and I journal, which is part of my my spiritual discipline. Some of you guys need to take your spiritual journey to the next level by doing some journaling. Just journal however you want. That's just, I didn't do that last service, but that's for somebody this service. Just start journaling. Just get one, and it doesn't even have to be a fancy journal. Do whatever you do, but just mark your spiritual journey. So I journal and I read, and when I get up early and I have that good Jesus time and that good caffeine time, then, you know, when I hear the people coming downstairs, then I'm like, we're ready for the day. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready, because sometimes when I, you know, I'm sleepy and I just get back, I'm like, oh man, and I hit the snooze too many times. I'm being honest. Can I be transparent right here? Sometimes I hit that snooze button. And I'm not proud of it. But then I don't get as much Jesus time as I need to. And I'm like, I'm praying, dear Lord, and bless this person. I hear somebody coming downstairs. I'm like, crud, man, I didn't get all my Jesus time in today. And then, but that makes me set the time for better the next morning. You're right. Is it okay if I say that? Is it all right? Doesn't happen all the time, but I'm being honest with you guys. Most of the time, I do get solid Jesus time. You know why I get solid Jesus time? Is because people need me to have Jesus in me. Because throughout the day, man, especially in ministry, I'm going to be giving out. And if I'm not full to overflowing, I don't give people good stuff. I give them grumpy rod, right? I give them tired rod. I give them, I wish I would have had more Jesus time this morning rod. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not every day, but I know I need to get full because other people need to full me. And you know what? Other people need to full you. Your kids need to full you. So get up earlier, man. Spend that time with Jesus. Spend that time praying. Spend that time in the Bible. You're going to be a better you, and God's going to use you more. Right? God's going to use you more when that happens. My wife, about 2 weeks ago, she told me, she said, "Baby, you know, I'm so glad when I wake up in the morning and you're not in bed." Guys, I'm going to talk to you. Do you feel me? That's not what you want to hear, right? You're like, but she didn't finish the sentence. And I didn't tell her I was going to be speaking on this, so she, you know, kind of preloaded or anything. She just said this out of the blue. She said, "You know why I'm happy when you're not in bed in the morning? Because I know where you are. You're downstairs. You're doing devotions. You're reading your Bible. You're praying for us. You're making our family better." And I went, oh, man. I mean, I couldn't say, "Yeah, you bet," but I felt like it. Because that's why I do it. My family needs me to be a better man of God. Your family needs you to be a better woman of God. Your kids need you. Your neighborhood needs you. Your occupation needs you. Your where you go to work. Your teacher needs you. Your students need you. You know, I like to get caught doing good because I always get caught doing bad. You know what I'm saying? I'll just tee it up, man. Like, come down the stairs. You know, when I hear upstairs, I've had about an hour of Jesus time, and I hear somebody moving upstairs, I'm like, I sit down, I grab my Bible. Not that I'm faking it, right? But when I'm already full, I'm like, yeah, man, you might as well catch me reading my Bible again instead of making you a sandwich. Or getting angry, because you've been there, being selfish. You've seen that. So anyways, I'd rather get caught doing something good. Serving. The third thing I want to talk about is serving, and I'm going to close with this. Acts 20:35. "In everything I showed you, that by working hard," did you hear me? "That by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it's more blessed to give than receive." Serving, here's a word for somebody who needs to hear this. Serving is part of your spiritual discipline. Somebody's excited about serving. I love it. If you have not had a chance to be a regular volunteer, I know some of you guys come and you're gonna start breaking down chairs after here, and you come tonight and set up chairs and break down and do that. That's awesome, thank you. But you need to make serving part of your ongoing spiritual discipline. When you serve, you actually get more out of your spiritual walk than if you don't serve. By the way, if you need to serve, you can sign up online. You can sign up in the foyer. We need some ushers. We need greeters. We need parking lot attendants, man. My brother shows up at 8 o'clock in the morning and starts holding a sign. Says, we're glad you're here. I'm like, I thought I was going to beat him today. I showed up about 8:30. He's already out there. I'm like, no one's even showing up yet. He goes, I come out about 8 o'clock, make sure I get you everybody. This brother's making even the workers feel welcome because he's out there with a sign. Glad you're here. Man. You know, if I was that guy, I'd be like, not a lot of people show up till about 10 till, so. You know what I'm saying? I'm just lazy like that, so. God wants to use your gifts and your abilities, man. If you're friendly, get out and be a greeter, be a parking lot attendant, right? If you're a teacher, man, be a teacher. Help train our kids. When we do these things, he gets our back. When you do it to the least of these, you do it unto the Lord. All right, it's part of your spiritual journey. It's something that we need to get in. It's something that we need to do. It doesn't matter how important this area is, the area that you serve in, little things can be a big difference in God's kingdom. Even the little things, God knows if you can come down here on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and pick out gum underneath the chairs, God sees that and he knows. You don't have to tell anybody that because we serve him and we serve for him, right? Let me give you an example. Praying over a baby 1 week at a time in the nursery, planting seeds in their heart, that's biblical. Another example, volunteering in youth ministry and sitting behind a different teenager every week and praying that God will open their heart, that is huge. Example, being a greeter and welcoming people with a smile from heaven above. Man, that's awesome. That is for real. And let me tell you this, there's a new study out right now that says people decide on their first visit to a church, they decide within the first 10 minutes if they're going to come back a second time. You know what? That's long before they meet the good-looking, bald-headed pastor. This first service laughed too. Why are you guys laughing at that? That's not. Long before the worship team starts playing, you're making a difference. Yes, the parking lot people. Yes, our greeters. Yes, our ushers. Yes, people working the booth. Yes, you know, Joe in the t-shirts. But it's really about us. People decide, do I want to hang out with this sister? Do I want to really gonna go to church where this guy just cut me off and he got a better parking place than me? You hear what I'm saying? People decide in the first 10 minutes. So you guys, everybody that sees somebody in the first 10 minutes of being here, thank you, because you are making us an awesome church. And by the way, you do a great job at it, or we wouldn't be growing and thriving. You hear what I'm saying? You guys are doing it. Thank you. Serving will change your life. I met a guy in October. His name is Kevin Adler. And Kevin has a ministry up in San Francisco area, and he serves the homeless. Not soup in a soup kitchen. Man, he's not even a tech genius, but he uses social media to serve those in society that are invisible. When we drive by homeless people, we just drive by, honestly, right? They're invisible people in our society. We don't think that they're a human being. We don't think that they have friends and family somewhere that they would like to connect with. So Kevin said one day, he goes, I'm going to do something to help the homeless people. A people group that will never be able to repay me. A people group that I'm going to serve because they are my brothers and because they're my father's kids. They're related to me. And so he has a ministry in the San Francisco Bay Area that he goes around and finds homeless people, and he records a video, and he says, who do you want to send a message to? It's called Miracle Messages. And he videos people and puts it on social media, and he says, this is so-and-so. They have friends in this city and this city. Please watch this message and forward it to people that you think they may know. And so he'll find out, hey, this guy's homeless. You've been on the streets 20 years. Where do you come from? Okay, come from Davenport, Iowa. Okay, we're gonna get a hold of the local social media people there. We're going to shoot this video out to them. And he reunites homeless people with their friends and family. They haven't seen each other for years. It's amazing. He serves a people group that's in high need, and he doesn't get anything out of it. The reason I met him is we had some mutual friends, and he was trying to raise some money for that ministry. He raises money and does the work to help these people. When Kevin reunites people through miracle messages and he reunites a homeless person with their friends and family, they have a 40% chance of getting off the streets. Amazing. And he didn't even do it for that. That's a stat he just uncovered because he's going around and loving people. The point here is that serving, even the least of these, serving will change your life. Serving will help you build a solid building on your solid foundation. Being part of a Bible-believing church will help you be solid and build your building on a solid foundation. All right? Doing devotions will help you build your building on a solid foundation, who is Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? I want to just wrap this up, and our prayer team is coming forward. We'll be up here praying with you about anything you want to pray about. If you have any kind of prayer need, you need to become a volunteer, come up and we'll get you information about that. You feel like you need to pray and just go, man, Lord, I really feel a burden for people in my neighborhood. How do I do that? Come up and pray. Whether you come up and pray or whether you go your way, either way, I want you to know we love you and you're going to be blessed. I'm going to pray this final prayer. Father God, thank you for an amazing church like Valley Bible. God, whether we're here, we're online, or we're at the couples retreat, we're at one of our other campuses, Father, I pray that, Lord, if you have touched our heart, I pray that we'd be able to say this one prayer. Holy Spirit, what are you telling me? What are you telling me to do today? Do I need to start a ministry? Do I need to volunteer to serve? Do I need to set my alarm a little earlier in the morning? What do I need to do? Holy Spirit, speak to us.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.